Parshas Balak. There is a very famous Mishnah which we will begin with tonight, where the Mishnah says there is a distinction, a clear distinction to be made between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. And the Mishnah says, if you find somebody who displays the following three midos, then you will know he is a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. He has an ayin toiva, positive eye, the ruach nemucha, lowly spirit, means he's not a balgaiva, the nefesh shvela, and so too he doesn't have expansive taivos and lusts. Then he is mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. If, however, you see somebody who has the opposite, he has an ayin ra, an evil eye, ruach gavoya, a haughty spirit, he's a balgaiva, or nefesh rechovo, he has big cravings and lust taivas, then you can be rest assured that he is mitalmidov shel Bilam HaRasha. And the Mishnah concludes, Ma bein talmidov shel Avraham Avinu le talmidov shel Bilam HaRasha. What in fact is the difference in what happens to them? So the Mishnah says, the talmidim of Avraham Avinu, they have Olam Hazeh and they have Olam Haba as well. Whereas the talmidim of Bilam HaRasha, Yerushim Gehenna, they go into Gehenna. Now this Mishnah needs a little bit of explanation. First and foremost, what exactly is the purpose of contrasting the Talmidim of Bilam with the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? There's a competition going on over here, the comparison. Why are we comparing and contrasting the Talmidim of one against the other? But moreover, I think we need to understand, if you read the Mishnah, it sounds like there are three differences between the Talmidim, as if to suggest that otherwise everything is exactly the same. They're absolutely identical. And L'chaira, we would have said, the Talmidim of Bilam are Rishayim Gumurim, and the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu are Tzadikim Gumurim. So again, not only what's the purpose and how can you possibly contrast them as if to say that there's something in common, but then the Mishnah doesn't even answer that. The Mishnah doesn't say, you're right, the Talmidim are absolutely opposite, no comparison whatsoever. No, no, no. There's three specific midos that you will find amongst the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu, midos toivos, and to the opposite with regard to the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. As if to say, but that's it. Therein lies the distinction. But besides for that, everything is the same. This, I think, needs an explanation. So I saw, in the name of HaGoyen Rav Shloima Hyman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he explained as follows. And he pointed out, and this is a very fundamental yisoid, he pointed out, let's examine the Doir, the generation in which Avraham Avinu lived, as opposed to the Doir, the times that Bilam HaRasha lived. Avraham Avinu lived at a time of Avodah Zarah. That would really define the period of life in which Avraham Avinu lived. The world was surrounded in Avodah Zarah. We call Avraham Avinu the Ivri. What does Ivri really mean? Ivri is from the word Aver, on the other side. Avraham Avinu was on one side, and who was on the second side? The whole world. It was a lone battle, Avraham Avinu versus the entire civilization. And as is well known, the Rambam recounts exactly how this all happened in the times of Enosh, why they believed in Avodah Zarah, but that's what it was. Avraham Avinu is fighting a lone battle. If you lived at the times of Avraham Avinu, what in fact was the choice that you had to make? The choice that you had to make was, am I going to go with the rest of the world, i.e. become an Oved Avodah Zarah, or am I going to go against the tide and go with Avraham Avinu? Let's compare that to the times in which Bilam HaRasha lived. Bilam HaRasha lived at a time where all of the world saw the tremendous miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael. Everybody knew about this. We say this every day in davening. There was Kriyas Yamsuf, Shomu Amin, Yirgozum. The whole world knew about it. Everybody had heard. Yisrael, remember, joins Klal Yisrael. Why? Because by Yishma Yisrael, he heard. Everybody knew about the tremendous Nisim that occurred to Klal Yisrael at the time in which Bilam HaRasha lived. So, again, if we would ask the question, what was the question? What was the shaila that everybody had to ask themselves at the time of Bilam? Am I going to be taken up by the tremendous miracles? Am I going to see the Emes with all the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf and Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or am I going to go with Bilam HaRasha against the tide? So we already begin to see that there is a purpose in comparing Avraham Avinu and Bilam. Because both in the times of Bilam and in the times of Avraham, the question that everybody had to always ask themselves, am I going against the stream or with the stream? In the times of Avraham Avinu, you had to be, as it were, crazy to want to join Avraham Avinu. Why would you want to do something like that? Everybody else is serving Avodah Zarah. In the times of Bilam HaRasha, you would have to be crazy to join Bilam. Why would you want to join Bilam? Look at Klal Yisrael, flying sky high. The Amon Nivchar, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mulchemes Amolek, Esther Makos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah. So this then is actually the enormous common denominator. We ask, what's the comparison? There is an enormous comparison. Why would anybody want to join Avraham Avinu? Why would anybody want to join Bilam? The common denominator between the two is you're going against the tide. You're fighting against the stream. To join Avraham Avinu, not to be an Avodah Zarah, everybody is serving Avodah Zarah. That's Latoyev. And Lera, why would you join Bilam? Why would you join Bilam? You'd be crazy to join Bilam. The MS is with Klal Yisrael, and everybody can see that. And that is what the Mishnah is comparing. It's a very profound explanation of Rav Shlomo Hyman. Why is the Mishnah comparing the Talmidim of Bilam and the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu? The underlying question is really, why would you want to be a Talmid of Avraham Avinu? Why would you want to be a Talmid of Bilam HaRasha? In both cases, you're fighting almost a lone battle. So what's the answer? The answer is equally profound. One has midos toivos, and one has midos rois, and that's the answer. Bilam HaRasha, if you want to know what was it that attracted people to him, the answer is they were corrupt in their midos. Ayin ro, nefesh rechava, etc., etc., ruach v'voya. If you want to know what was it that attracted people, that drew people to Avraham Avinu against the rest of the world, they saw the Emes. It's true. He's a one-man band. However, he's fighting against the tide, but the Emes is with him. And do you know how we're able to see the Emes? With midos toivos. With midos toivos. And this really is the explanation and the very fundamental yesod that Rav Shlomo Hyman introduces us to by learning this Mishnah. If one has midos toivos and one is prepared to be objective, then you will see the emes. It's true. Avraham Avinu was Avraham for every, and it would have been the easy option to just flow with the tide and with the stream and go with everybody else being Oyla Avodah Zarah, but that wasn't the emes. But how did they know? How were they able to see the emes? Because they were not corrupt people. They had midos toivos. Bilam HaRasha, it was the exact same story, just the opposite direction. You had to be crazy to go and join Bilam. Who would want to join Bilam against Klal Yisrael, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the Torah? How did they not see the Emes? And the answer is, this is what defines a Talmud of Bilam. He is mushchus b'midos. He's corrupt And when you're corrupt, it's not so much that you don't see the MS, but rather you can't see the MS. You can't see the MS. And this, I think, will remind us of a famous mimer, which we have mentioned in the past. This mimer was written by the great Rav Elchanan Vasna, Hashem Yimko Im Domri. And Rav Elchanan asks, he says, I don't understand. A boy, 12 years old, 353 days, a few minutes towards his bar mitzvah, he's not mechuyav of the mitzvahs. Comes Laila, dons his hat and jacket, mazel tov, he's a bar mitzvah. First mitzvah, anoichi Hashem aleikecha, mitzvah of emunah. Says Rav Elchanan, how do you expect a little 13-year-old boy to be makayim the mitzvah of emunah b'kodesh baruch hu? Difficult mitzvah to come by, as Rav Elchanan himself writes, some of the greatest philosophers of all time, and there were none greater than Aristotle, that's what he quotes, about whom the Rambam says he was so wise that his wisdom bordered, it was on the verge of prophecy. And he wasn't a mamin, he didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of his chokhmah. And this little bar mitzvah bocharel, he has to be a maimon d'Hashem. How can that be? Says Rav Elchanan, the question is a mistake. We don't need to answer the question, we just need to explain why the question isn't in fact a question at all. Says Rav Elchanan, emunah, the easiest mitzvah in the book. And he gives a moshel, and the moshel is really based on Chazal. Imagine you would see a sefer lying around. Oh, a tremendous sefer, full of chidushim, fantastic sefer. And you're curious, it doesn't say who wrote the sefer, who's the author of this book? So you ask the gabbai of the shul, tell me, I saw a tremendous sefer here, lying in the groshul, I must be put in contact with the author, who wrote this sefer? And the gabbai says, you'll be interested to know that actually there's no author. An amazing thing happened. What happened was, we had a whole bunch of pieces of paper in a pile, and next to it was a bottle of ink. And somebody knocked the ink and it spilled. And incredibly it formed words and letters and sentences and chapters and theories and shtiklostan, and this is the sefer. Don't be ridiculous. What do you mean? Prove me wrong. Prove you wrong. The sefer is proof that you're wrong. This moshel is based on a chazal. When the goy came to Rabbi Akiva and he says, prove to me that there's the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. How do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? So Rabbi Akiva, again, without so much answering the question, he really dismissed the question. And he said, tell me, who made your suit? Says, tailor. How do you know? Maybe it formed itself. Bring me a proof. Father says, the suit is the proof that there was a tailor. It is testimony to the fact that somebody produced it. He said, you just answered your own question. Says Rav Elchanan, the mitzvah of emunah requires you to do one thing, to open your eyes. That's all. You just have to open your eyes and you'll see the emes. Hashomayim mesaprim kevoid keil. You look around, mebesori echze eleikim. Everywhere you look, you'll see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but you have to be able to see the emes. A bar mitzvah boy is not corrupt, so it's the easiest mitzvah in the book for him to be mekayim. Aristotle was a tremendous chacham, but that doesn't help him, because what does the Torah write about wise people? Ki hashoichad ya'aver einei chachomim. You can be the wisest of the wise, but if you're bribed and you're corrupt, then you don't see emes. Aristotle chose not to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's not that based on his chokhmah he came with empirical evidence and he proved chas v'shalom that Rabbeinu Shel Olam doesn't exist. He was corrupt. And if you're a mushkus in middos, then you don't see the emes. The question is not on the bar mitzvah boy, the question is on Aristotle. How did he not see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? And the answer is because he was mushkus, because he was corrupt. As he himself writes, Bedavar sheha'odom mushuchad, when a person is bribed, lo yuchal lahakir eso emes, he's unable. He's unable to recognize the emes. Im hi neged ritzoinoisa, he says, hu kamoish shikoyer, the dovah says, like he's drunk. try explaining a delicate point of philosophy to somebody who's drunk. He's incapable of understanding. You can be the wisest of the wise, but when he's shikha, he's like everybody else. Says Rabbi Chanan, that was Aristotle. He was shikha. He was drunk. He was mushkas in his middas. He was drawn after all of his taivas and gaivas. So of course he didn't see the MS. You've got a question, how a bar mitzvah boy can be mammon in the Rabbeinu Shleilim? The question is not a question. All he has to do is open his eyes. There is a very famous story. This story is quoted by the Altar of Kelm. Because the Altar of Kelm is coming to answer a challenging question. When we turn back to Parashas Chayei Sarah, Ephraim seems to be so kind and so generous and so gracious to Avraham Avinu. What does he say? Maras Machpelah, for sure, Lachana Satya, it's all yours. Avraham Avinu says, no, I'll pay for it. And the next thing you know, four Araba Me'ezuz, which the Maharshim explained, was an astronomical amount of money. Says, what happened? From one moment to the next, what happened to Ephraim? The Altar of Kelm explains by highlighting the following story, and I think it's a famous story. There is a debate whether this story happened in the time of the Rambam or of Yonas and Eveshitz, but either way, the story is famous and will, for the purpose of our shir, assume that it happened in the times of the Rambam. The Rambam, on occasion, was challenged to a debate against his Christian counterparts. And what was the debate? The debate, I think, has traditionally been called over the ages, nurture versus nature. In other words, if somebody has a specific nature, this is the way he or she is born, can they be nurtured otherwise, or will nature always come to the fore? Will nature always override nurture? And the Rambam, of course we know this is Hashkofas HaTorah, is that nurture will override. If a person works on himself, then he can change and he becomes a new existence. And the Goyim don't believe that. The Goyim don't believe it. So they organize a great big debate. There's going to be an enormous banquet hall, and it's going to be called a public debate. And you can imagine the Goyim prepared for days and for weeks exactly all their arguments, and the Rambam didn't need to prepare. He had the Peach HaTorah for Emes Yoyre Darko. The Rambam enters the hall, he takes his seat on the top table, and next to him, Abdul Elef Alfi Abdolis, all the Christian priests and bishops. And before the debate even began, the tables were set up, very, very fancy banquet there. And who are the waiters? Cats. And in walk the cats. They've been trained, and they're standing on their hind legs, and they're walking in, and they're busy serving everybody in the hall, putting the cutlery down, offering this, offering drinks, offering the other. Now, of course, this was supposed to be by way of proof to the Goyim. Their whole hashkofa was that there's essentially no difference between an animal and a human being. Look, you can train a human being. Basically, a human being is just a more sophisticated adult. And of course, we know this is not the hashkofa of the Torah. This is not the Hashkofa of the Torah. The Hashkofa of the Torah is that a person can change, but an animal will always remain an animal. He has his instincts and he has his teva. So here we have the bishops all rubbing their hands with glee. Look at the experiment. It's working absolutely magnificently. These cats have been wonderfully trained as they walked in with their napkin delicately draped over their arm, and they come in holding their plates of hot soup, offering to all the guests. And the Rambam is sitting there unfazed. The Rambam takes out of his pocket a small little box of tobacco, has a little puff, and unbeknown to him, there was a little mouse that had creeped its way into his box. And he opened the box, and the mouse jumped out and skids in between, in and out on the tables, and before you know it, the cats have thrown all the soup, all forgotten, all the training, all the napkins, all the bowls, and they too are diving in and out on the tables to try and find this mouse. The Rambam got up from his seat, left the hall, meeting adjourned, point proven. An animal can be trained, but essentially he would always revert back to his midos, to his teva, because an animal, after all, is an animal. A ben odom, a human being, can change. Said the altar of Kelm, Ephraim was Ephraim. So he put on this very gracious exterior, surely yes, you can have it for free. But Ephraim had a tremendous taiva for kesef. And as the altar of Kelm writes so beautifully, when Avraham Avinu just put his hands in his pocket, as he describes, and Ephraim heard the jangle of the coins, well, that was his mass. After that, it was all over. It wasn't a question of he didn't, it was rather he couldn't. That was his mass. So he couldn't anymore connect with the MS. The MS is, it was Avraham Avinu's by rights. It was Avraham Avinu's by rights. Or the Marisha was buried there. This belonged to the Ovis. The MS is all meaningless. When Ephraim is corrupt with his midis and he sees these coins jangling in front of him, everything lights up. The MS is all forgotten. Not that he didn't see the MS. He simply couldn't see the MS. And to bring this really to a full circle, this is really one of the yesodos of the whole parasha. We were discussing the Talmidim of Bilam, but really it's true with Bilam himself. Because Bilam is described in Chazal as being Chochem Shebechochem. Right? Now Chazal don't exaggerate with their phraseology. Chochem Shebechochem, the wisest of the wise, says the Medrash. Another Medrash, Bilam is the Chochem Shel Hagoyim. And yet if you learn our parasha, you take it posuk by posuk, Rashi by Rashi, you will see on so many occasions Bilam seems to be acting in a way which seems to be the opposite of Chochmah. We would call it with stupidity. How does that fit with the Midah, with the accolade that Chazal attribute to him? He's the Chochmah Shebechochmah. It was clear to anybody, any little cheder yingle who learns the parasha understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Bilam to go and curse his beloved nation. Bilam didn't see that. Bilam didn't see that. Let's not forget who Bilam was. Bilam had an illustrious career. How did he begin his career? He was one of the advisors to Paroi in Mitzrayim. See, he was there at the time of Mitzrayim and he saw all the miracles. And he saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael Asher Bochar Bonu Goy Mikerev Goy. Here he is, the one trying to defeat the very nation that he himself saw how they thrived miraculously. Where's the Chochmah in that? And of course, the whole story with Bilam and his donkey. Again, anybody reading the parasha, you just have to open your eyes. And yet Bilam didn't. But Bilam is the Chochem Shebechochemim, so what's going on over here? And the answer is, again, so we come back to the Mishnah. Because if a person is corrupt in his midos, then he is incapable of seeing the Emes. Bilam and his Talmidim have, as the Mishnah told us that we began with, they have Ruach Gavoya, their Balei Gaiva, they won't cover it. They have Nefesh Rechova, expansive lusts. So if you dangle kavod or taivas in front of Bilam, then that's his mouse. Then all the soup goes flying and the emes is all now forgotten and meaningless. Remember the Rashi? Rashi towards the beginning of the parasha. It says, Vayishlach malochim el Bilam ben v'oir b'seiro. Likroi loy. Likroi, they summons to him. How do they summons to him? Says Rashi. The Kriya, Likroi Loi, they called to him. What does the word Loi mean? Lamed Vav. The first Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha. What does Lecha mean? For your good. L'tayvoscho ulano oscho, says Rashi, likro eloi, they called for him, for his good. They tried to win him over, says Rashi. Shoyo poisek loi momoin harbe. They offered him a lot of money. They offered him money. That's Bilam's mouse. That's Bilam's mouse. So chacham shabachachomim, the chacham shamagoyim, but ashoichad is ma'aver eini chachomim. If somebody is bribed, then he is blinded. So he doesn't choose to ignore the MS. He's incapable of seeing the MS. Rashi says it. Poisek loi momoin harbe. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, loi seilechi mohim, do not go with them. So Bilam wakes up in the morning, what does he tell? He says to them, Yemer osoli bolek, mi'ein Hashem lefiti lahaloichi mohim, I can't go with you. I can't go with you. Ooh, Bilam. Bilam HaTzadik. That's what it sounds like. What does Rashi say? I can't go with you. Elo imsorim gedolim mikem. Not that I can't go with you because I dare not curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. I can't go with you lowly ministers because I can only go with higher ranked ministers. If you send them, then I'll come. Says Rashi in the next word, Lo madnu, what do we see from over here? Sheruchoi gavoya. You see, it's a Baal Geiger. He sees that they're approaching him, a whole mission. So he thinks to himself, one second, if they send lowly ranked ministers, then I can probably convince them to send highly ranked ministers. This will be a tremendous covenant. So you're dangling now another mouse in front of Bilam. It's too much for him. It's too much for him. Once a person is corrupt in his midos, then if you dangle kovoid or kesef or taivas, whatever it may be, after that the emes is all forgotten. And that is really the estate of our Mishnah. The Mishnah we began with, what's the difference between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam? We said, what's the difference? What's the common denominator, Bichlal? But Rav Shlomo Heilman explained to us there is a common denominator because they both, the Talmidim of Avraham and the Talmidim of Bilam, are going against common thinking, against common understanding of the times. The Talmidim of Avraham Avinu joined him and did not serve Avodah Zarah. So the Mishnah says because they had Midos Tovos. And if you have Midos Tovos, then you see the Emes. Then you see the Emes. As opposed to Bilam, where the exact same question can be asked. How did Talmidim join Bilam? Who would do something crazy like that at a time when Klal Yisrael were clearly the choice nation? You'd want to join them, not Bilam who wants to destroy them. That really is what the Mishnah is really discussing. Why would you want to join Bilam? Just like why would you want to join Avraham? And the answer is because they were corrupt. And if you're corrupt, you're a Baal Geiger, and you're a Baal Taiva, etc., etc., then you no longer see the Emes. You no longer see the Emes. The Torah is the Emes. We say it every Shabbos, Tzidkoscha Tzedek La'olam V'Seiroscha Emes. The Torah is the Emes. But, capital B, Derech Eretz Kodma La'Torah. Derech Eretz Kodma La'Torah. First, has to have Midos Tovos to be able to see that Emes. And this little young bar mitzvah boy that we mentioned before, he's not corrupt. He's a young little sweet cute bar mitzvah boy. So the mitzvah of Emunah, the easiest mitzvah, he can see the Ribbono Shel Olam. But if you can't see the Ribbono Shel Olam and you don't see the MS, it means you're corrupt. Such that you have somebody asking Rabbi Akiva, who said HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? That's as ridiculous as saying, who said Taylor created your suit? Who said this book was authored by anybody? Maybe ink spilt. If you cannot see the MS, it means you're corrupt with Midos Ra'os. So let's just perhaps point out in conclusion, we are now about 2 days away from the beginning of the Tekufa of Bein HaMetzorim. It is a well-known discussion, not to get involved for the moment, we've actually referred to it in the past. It's not entirely clear, at the Zman of the Churban, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? In one place it says, because they were over the three cardinal sins. Gilui Aroyes, Shfichas Domim, Avodah Zarah. And yet in another place, what does it say? It says, because Shelo Yibirchu Batoiro Tchilo. They were mezalzel in the Torah. whatever that explanation is, why does it manifest itself in the bracha? So, which one is it? Is it the three aveiros chamurais that brought about the churban habayis, or is it the fact that was zalz of the Torah? And the answer is, according to what we just said, is that one is dependent on the other. If a person is corrupt, such that he's able to commit the worst of the worst aveiros, shlichas domim, gilui aveiros, aveiros zara, all of those aveiros are based on midos rois. Somebody who commits shlichas domim, it means he had problems of kas and gaiva. Somebody who was involved in aroyos, but clearly he was a bal taiva. Somebody who was aveiros zara, so too is a bal gaiva, didn't want to commit himself to the rabbeinu shalom. If a person has those midos rois that bring him to those aveiros, then automatically that will bring him to be mazalvel in the Torah as well. Because the Torah is emes. But in order to be able to see the emes, derech eretz kodma la Torah. So there's no contradiction at all. Was it the three aveiros chamurois, or the fact that it was mazalvel the Torah? And the answer is one brings you automatically to the other. How is one able to be mazalvel in the Torah? How is it shayach to be mazalvel in the Torah? The Torah is emes. How can you not see the MS? And the answer is because you're corrupt. And that manifests itself in the Gimel Averis Chamuris. So therefore, all of this really lies in the Mishnah that we began with. The contrast between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha, if one has Midos Toivos, one will see the MS. If one is a Bal Taiva, a Bal Gaiva, Nefesh Rechova, and Ruach Gavoya, etc., etc., then you cannot see the MS. That's your mouse dangling in front of you, and the emes is all forgotten, and that is the common denominator between all the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha.